Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. The Reverend Dr. James Bonnick is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading is from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Martin Luther prayed this prayer in 1529 in his large catechism. "Dear Father, your will be done, not the devil's will or the enemy's or anything that would persecute and suppress your holy word or hinder your kingdom. Grant that we may bear with patience and overcome whatever is to be endured because of your word and kingdom, so that our poor flesh may not yield or fall away because of weakness or sluggishness." When Luther was praying this prayer, Germany was still recovering from the Peasants' War just a few years earlier that burned out whole cities and left thousands slaughtered. When Luther was praying this prayer of God's will being done, Luther was under papal excommunication for preaching that we are justified by Christ alone. Rome incited riots with burning effigies of Luther and his writings. When Luther wrote that God's will is to be done, the plague hit Wittenberg, where Luther lived. The town experienced an astronomical death rate where Luther and his wife tended to the sick in their own home. What was Luther thinking? Praying God's will be done when everything around him was falling apart. When we pray, "Thy will be done," in the Lord's Prayer, faith believes that God's will is always good, no matter what's going on around us. But who is this God that we would trust his will, that we would put our entire lives into his care? Well, we learn from the catechism that God is indeed holy. He is sinless and he hates sin. This God is faithful. He keeps his promises to protect us and to provide for us and to love us. This God is love. He is never self-centered, but he is always serving. As he himself said, "I came to serve, not to be served. I came as a ransom for many." This God is merciful. He is full of pity for our human condition and our soul. And this God is good. He is always kind. He always desires our well-being. He is moved in his compassion to save us from all evil. And so when we say God's will is good and wise, let us not be mistaken. God's will is holy. God's will is faithful. God's will is love. God's will is merciful. And God's will is spoken of and described in many ways and in many contexts in the Bible. But it certainly reaches its apex and pinnacle in these words. God desires, he wills that all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Dear children of God, there are only two wills that exist, and they are diametrically opposed to each other. There is the will of the Holy Trinity, good and gracious, loving and saving. And then there's the will of the unholy Trinity, the devil, the world, and our own fallen and sinful flesh. The devil is the leader. He will do everything in his power to block God's good and gracious will from you and me. He will lie to us. He will hurt us. He will use sinful man and powers and kingdoms to destroy us. He's ruthless, and never is there any good in him at all. He will subtly, forcefully, and even brutally cause you to believe his lies of Big Bang, of abortion, sexual orientation, anarchy, causing you to doubt and resist God's good and gracious will for this world and for your life. In the words of Luther, Satan will provoke the world against us, fans and stirs the fire so that he may hinder and drive us back, cause us to fall, and again bring us under his power. Luther reminds us that Satan's will is unrelenting. He strives day and night and never rests for a moment, using all arts, wiles, ways, and means that he can invent to lead you and me into his hellish kingdom. And he's doing it this very day. And Satan knows our sinful flesh. As he rages and woos and entices and wears us down from trusting God's word, enticing our flesh to be weak and lazy, diminishing our desire for God's word, even luring us to do evil. Joseph and his brothers is the story of us all. I'm guessing there's a little Joseph and his brothers in our past and present. Conniving, hating, envying, groveling, repenting, serving, and even reconciling. Joseph was 17, a teenager with little wisdom and a lot of arrogance, a man of dreams, Dad's favorite of 12 sons. On one occasion, Joseph was sent to check his brothers while they were out in the pasture with their flock, and he comes home and tattles to their father about them. On another occasion, Joseph tells his brothers of his dream. All the other sheaves in the field bow down to one, so the brothers would bow down one day to Joseph, and they hated him. On another occasion, Joseph tells his brothers and father of another dream, the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to Joseph, so they would all bow down to him. Even his father rebuked him when he spoke that dream, and the brothers seethed with jealousy. On another occasion, Joseph goes to check on his brothers, but this time they throw him to a pit. And they sell him to a caravan of Ishmaelites heading for Egypt. They tell their father Joseph is dead, bringing him Joseph's bloodied garments. Now, a slave in Egypt, Joseph is falsely accused of sexual sins with a high official's wife and ends up in prison. 13 years later, Joseph is freed from prison because he can interpret Pharaoh's dreams of 7 fat years and 7 lean years of crops. Years later, there's a famine throughout the land, even up north, and Joseph's brothers go to Egypt begging for food, not knowing Joseph was governor over all of Egypt, who oversaw the granaries. Not recognizing Joseph, the brothers bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph sends his brothers back to Israel to get his brother Benjamin. They return, and after a series of events, Joseph weeps and reveals himself. He says, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me, for God sent me before you, preserving your life." When Joseph was 56 years old, about 39 years after he was sold by his brothers, Jacob, his father, died. Joseph's brothers still clung to their guilt and fear of Joseph. They feared Joseph would now pay them back for the evil they did to him. They pleaded Joseph to forgive them for their transgression against him, admitting their evil against him. And again, at least a third time, the brothers bow down before Joseph like sheaves in the field, like sun and moon and stars. The brothers bow and plead, "Behold, we are your servants." And Joseph weeps and says to his brothers, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people would be kept alive as they are today. Do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." God meant all this for good. God turns evil on its side, and he uses it even for purposes of his own that are good. The brothers did mean this for evil, but God uses it to carry out his plan of salvation, promised to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, to bring the Savior of the world through this line of this family line. This very personal story of family and brothers and sin and forgiveness has a larger meaning and impact on all the world. It even impacts you and me. Preserving Judah's line is preserving us and our life. God would step forth from heaven to earth in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The world would oppose him. Rich and powerful leaders would plan his execution. And yet to this day, the world means evil against the Christ, the Son of the living God, wanting to tear down every symbol of him. And yet God turns this evil to accomplish his will. The imprisonment of Jesus, the blood that stains his garments and his suffering and death and burial, it is through Jesus Christ that God brings good and life and salvation to you and to me. His bloody garments are presented before his heavenly Father. The blood of Jesus, the blood of God, pays the price for our evil and for our sin and death. Death was meant to be our final blow, our eternal separation from God. And yet through his own death and resurrection, Jesus turns death on its side and uses it for our good. Now our portal into eternal life with Christ, with angels and all the company of heaven. The will of God is always good and wise. We confess it and we believe it and we cling to it. And therefore, we repent before the greater Joseph, Jesus Christ. And at his name we bow, submitting to his good and gracious will, which is why we even bow here in chapel before God. And so when we pray, "Thy will be done," we can only pray it in faith, believing and trusting that his will is good and wise, even when we don't understand it, even when we don't know how the events of this life and this world are used by him to accomplish his will. Luther said, "God's will must be done and succeed." He said, "This is true even though the devil and all his followers raise a great riot, are angry and rage against it, and try to exterminate the gospel completely, even as we see happening today." Luther says, "But for our sakes, we must pray that even against their fury, his will will be done without hindrance among us also. God will always accomplish his good and gracious will." And so, Luther says, we pray so that they may not be able to accomplish anything and that we may remain firm against all violence and persecution and submit to God's will. And that's our prayer for us and our children and grandchildren. And as we pray, "God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we rest in the unending protection of our God who always works good for our lives. As St. Paul says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. We rest in his nail-pierced hands, in his care and comfort, and the confidence that we are his, and his will for us is always good. And we need not be anxious about this world. We rest in his cross, where his will is set to save us eternally. And he has done it. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Charles and Deborah Saint-Ange, who served the Lord in Canada and the Caribbean. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.